as Speedy gets around. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter 3. We're going to read just a few verses. Going to start with 8, skip 9, and go to 10 through 13. John the Revelator, under the direction of the Holy Ghost, pens these words, starting at verse 8. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Verse 10 says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The title of this lesson is, What's Next? What's next? We talked a little bit about the signs of the time in which we're living in, but I'm not going to start a study of the book of Revelation. That's one that I know better than to try to get into that. Because normally, most Christians end up being confused or don't understand. But it's not that I think that we can't touch here and there. But I want to talk a little bit about the future. You have to remember that we are definitely living in the last days. Shake your little heads, yes, if you believe that. The last days are upon us. And I know there's a lot of things that we can point to. We can go through this, that, and the other. But I just want to use this lesson to try to get the point across about our future. And not only our future, but more particularly, your future. If you take a look at the introduction with me, everyone is interested in the future. You have probably never considered it, but much of your existence today is based on your hope of what you have invested in for tomorrow. You can talk about living for today and sing all those lovely one day at a time sweet Jesus songs you want. But the bottom line is we are looking toward the future. doesn't matter what position you have in life, where you are at in your life. And I've listed a few things here. A person gets married with the future in mind. A couple has children with the future in mind. But now today, a couple will think twice about having kids because of the future that they have in their brains. A man or a woman works a job with a future in mind. Investments are made based on hopes for the future. The best investment ever, the best investment for your dollar, for your time, for your children, for your education, for your marriage, and for your eternity, that investment is the church. There is still one ship in the sea of life that keeps sailing right on course. There is still one anchor that never moves. There is one investment that never falters or fails. And that investment is the church of the living God, the church of Jesus Christ. Nowhere else, nothing else in this life will measure up to what the church has available and can do for each one. Let's take a look at point number one. The church moving in. In Matthew chapter 16, the latter part of verse 18, and I know this is Jesus talking to Peter. In the latter part of that verse says, "And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Peter was already forewarned and foreshadowed to be the first Pentecostal preacher. Jesus said that he was the rock, and upon this rock he was going to build his church. And Pentecost, as we're going to take a look at in a little bit, did not go away, but it is still relevant to what God is trying to do in these last days. We are going to have a Pentecost Sunday service in the evening. Is it the 29th? Nineteenth. 10 days off. On the 19th, so you want to make sure that you don't schedule anything that you want to come. We're going to do a few things directed towards if you haven't been baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, you will have an opportunity that night for us to be able to lay hands on you to receive the baptism. And yes, you do not receive the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues. It's the initial evidence of the baptism in the Holy Ghost. But that's a different lesson. So, According to Matthew chapter 16, the latter part of verse 18, letter A, what do you see when you read this verse? And I'm going to pause. What do you see? And you can look down all you want to your paper. It's not going to have an answer there for you. Come on. David wants to do the running. Don't you want to see him run? Since when do you listen? Well, what do you see in this verse? Jesus said, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against you."
So is it talking like no matter what, he's still going to be build his church, no matter what the situation is or the trials that are put in place for him?
Okay. Someone else. He's a dashing.
The church is not some magical force that exists on its own. It takes people. Because first you see Peter, and then you realize, you know, Peter and the apostles brought the people in, and then the church grew and grew and grew and grew, and all the way to the point that we are today. So sometimes we get these lofty ideas of the church as if we don't have anything to do with it, when in reality what happens here in our church and the church universal is absolutely on our shoulders and absolutely our responsibility.
Okay. Two good answers. Who's got the third one? Misty.
It doesn't matter where you are. God wants you to keep building his church up and tell everyone about it and try to encourage them to try to come.
Okay, good. There's number three. Where's number four?
I think it's saying that God will protect you from the devil because the church people's there to help you.
Okay, good. About number five. Point number one is the church moving in. If you look at the following verse after 18, which is 19, Jesus finished out and said, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." The understanding of the church moving in is one of those things that takes on many different facets or means or ways of moving. But the church is always on a continuation or continually in that moving factor. When we look at our own personal lives, we need to make sure that we are moving, not moving just for the sake of moving, but that we are letting God direct us and help us. You've heard me say many times that if you are no longer growing, you're stagnant, is not a good scenario to be in. We must stay in that motion factor. And when we think of, I know the next point was many see the opposite of what Jesus meant, but I think we did a pretty good job of what Jesus was trying to get across, not only to his disciples, not only to Peter himself, because I don't know if Peter would have known that he was going to be the first Pentecostal preacher, whether things would have been a little bit differently in this scenario, but we need to understand that the church must be in the factor of moving forward, not staying the same or retreating. You've heard me say time and time again about how far the church has fallen backwards. Since I said that the last time, I've heard a couple different news reports and different preachers and so on and so forth talk about the coming back. People are starting to come back to the church, and that's what we need for God to be pleased with us and us being the instruments. Look at point B. Some see the church standing with every ounce of strength it can muster to keep the devil from barging in. It's not our job to waste a lot of energy and time and talent and resources when we know that the devil's already defeated. Jesus Christ saw to that for us. But there are some things, if you look at B1, hold the fort attitudes prevail everywhere. We shouldn't be holding the fort. What are we to do? We are to build the kingdom of God. We are to build the kingdom of God, not maintain. Amen. Number two, that is not the visual we are to see here. And number three, gates don't move. They cannot get up and walk around, unlike many of the items in the church today. When you go to look for something, it's no longer there. It just grew legs and walked somewhere. But that's not what the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We don't have to worry about gates moving, but we do have to be the church that's on the move. Amen. Letter C, the visual here is the church moving against the gates of hell themselves. And the point is that the gates of hell are not strong enough to keep us out. Why? As I said, the devil's already been defeated. The church, Jesus Christ already said that he would take care of it. He also gave us the promise of the Holy Ghost to be our helper, our guide, our director. It is finished. Period. Plain and simple. Right? Letter D. God has given us penetrating power. Penetrating power. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. In other words, anything that the enemy sets up as a barrier or a way or a means to try to stop the church, the children of God, is he's defeated. And as we can say, get thee behind me, Satan. God will help us. D1. Our power is not obsolete. Your power is not obsolete if you're relying on the power of Jesus Christ, the power of the Word, the power of the Holy Ghost, and whatever else goes into the relationship. Prayer, fasting, our tools and our equipment that God has given to us are not obsolete. I don't care. I know I've heard a few times through the years of ministering that God's Word is still not the same as it used to be. I beg to differ with. It's still the same. Every promise is still a good to go. On God's part. Who affects it? You. Me. We do. But our power is not obsolete. Obsolete just means of no good, no value. It's already run its course. Number two. When it comes to warfare, when it comes to a war, those that are left in charge of platoons, battalions, so on and so forth, have to make decisions. And planes are grounded when it is determined by those who are in leadership that they cannot take off safely. They can't do their mission safely, and or they cannot return safely. They're grounded. In other words, they don't go on that mission until they're sure. How many things in life are really that guaranteed? In other words, number three, they lose penetrating power. If you look at page number two, letter E, will you declare with me that the church is still moving in? I trust that we will all agree that, yes, we are moving in the right direction. Onward and upward. How can we know if we are still moving in? Goes along with our theme for this year. Restore in 24. We are taking back territory that we lost or gave up willingly. We are taking back territory that we lost or gave up willingly. Number two, we are pulling down strongholds and gaining ground every day. That again is growing in the grace of Jesus Christ. And number three, we do not retreat, and we are not letting the enemy get away. Again, Christ paid the price for yours and my victory. In everything and anything that we face. Amen. So, point number one, the church is moving in. Number two, the church reaching out. Yes, this is the future and the present work of the church today. What are some of the ways that the church reaches out? You don't need a microphone, just say it out, I'll repeat it.
Different outreaches.
Okay, we utilize the fair that week to try to reach out.
Live streaming.
Good. Missionary support. both financially and praying for the missions. VB Saturday. What was it? Food pantry? Food pantry. Being a witness. Very much so. You might want to start to sing, I want to testify. That's just a little hint. Testimonies. So simple. Just telling someone what Jesus Christ has done for you. What's that, brother? Start with your family. Planting the seeds. There's all kinds of different ways that we are able to reach out. But I can't stress enough, yes, this is the future, but it's also the present work of the church. Number one, Pentecost would have died if it had stayed in the upper room. But there was 120 believers that came out walking like Jesus, talking like Jesus, and ministering like Jesus. I run into someone at Perkins Sunday. And he asked me how I was doing and whether I was still here at the church. I said, of course. I didn't know whether you'd retire. I said, I doubt whether I'll retire. I'll keep on plugging away. I've got that shut up in my bones and it needs to get out. Amen. Acts chapter 3, verse number 7. It says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. This is Peter and John's example of reaching out to the lame man. Oh, so in other words, we can just do the things God has called us to do as another way of reaching out. I love the best way that, or one of the ways that we have the capabilities to be the reaching out church that we need to be in prayer. We get a lot of people who call us, or people who know someone that comes here that knows that it's not that we get results, but when we pray, God honors our prayers in great ways and miracles and so on and so forth. So we have that great privilege to pray for healing, deliverance, so on and so forth, everything that we can do. B1, the work of the church is reaching and reaping. In Joel 3:13, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for the wickedness is great. In Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Verse 2, then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Send out laborers is another way we reach out. Amen. The church moving in, the church moving or reaching out, and then the third point is the church moving up. And yes, I know this is an understatement. This is what excites me. Because I believe we are the generation. We are in the time period of the rapture of the church. It's not some fictitious idea, but it's a powerful part of the Word of God. You talk about a future, and the church moving up, one day we're going to hear the trump of God sound. You will not and cannot fathom or think or comprehend how quick it will be. You won't have time to say, oh, I better ask for forgiveness. It'll already be too late. Letter A. This is what excites me. We are the bride of Christ. We are the saved ones who are called out, and the bridegroom is about to call us away. The rapture of the church is real, just as real as salvation. Just as real as eternity. Just as real as hell or heaven. It's something that will take place in the future, but it's much sooner than we think. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, 26, and 27. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but they should be holy and without blemish. And of course, verse number 10 of our text, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. What that's referring to is the tribulation period. And of course, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Letter C. Here in the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, it's very clear that Jesus is speaking to the churches. But it doesn't take much to figure out that there's something that transpires between the end of chapter 3 and the beginning verse of chapter 4. And that's called what we refer to as the rapture. Yes, the rapture is not a word that you will find in the Word of God. But you do see the principles and the concepts called the catching away of the saints. But you also have here chapter 4, verse number 1. It simply declares, a door is opened, and a voice said, come up hither. And many scholars believe that that's Jesus Christ who spoke those words. The church is not mentioned again until you see her with the bridegroom in chapter 19 at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I thank God for the hope in the future that we have. We have a mansion that has our name written on it. Only yours, no one else's. Conclusion. When you think the church moving in, the church reaching out, and the church moving up, the future is bright for the kingdom of God. Conclusion says, don't lose hope in this dark hour. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going up, and I am so glad that I am part of the church today. And yes, I will be going in the first bunch. Pre-tribulation believer, preacher. There is one other question that I have for you that you cannot fully answer. But what's up next for you? I can't answer it. Your wife can't, or your husband, your mom, your dad, your grandma, your grandpa, your pastor, your ministry leader, can't answer that for any one of us. Only you can answer what's next. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Ooh, right on time. Nothing? Well, I'm going to ask you to stand with me then. Please don't forget to